Om Agyanatimi Randhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Please don't give wet garlands. Yeah. Apart from being uncomfortable to wear, they stain the cloth. It's nice to give garlands, but not wet garlands.
I just want to place at your lotus feet.
So. I already put it on my lotus neck. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Lotus neck of Lord Nrsimhadeva is beautified by lotus flowers. Namah Pankaja Malini, the Lord's beautiful form is glorifying the lotus flower by being decorated by the flower, the lotus flower. So I can say I have a lotus neck inasmuch as lotus garlands offered to the Lord have been placed on that neck. That's all. It's so wonderful living in Bangalore, the garden city. And like all cities, you see the auto rickshaw goes past and smell of pollution comes in. But we are foolishly attached. We think city life is so wonderful. This is civilized. We are such fools that we think this is civilization, and previously people were living in a very primitive way because they had to fetch water from the river. The people, even our own devotees, are fully convinced that real civilized life means to have some pigeon box, Prabhupada used to call this. It's some apartment. That previously everyone used to live with. House means not just one house, that each, they'd have a compound with separate rooms. There's a place for sleeping in deep south of India. They'd mostly sleep outside throughout the year, underneath the veranda. There'd be different, one room for cooking, because you don't sleep in the same room that you, it's not attached to the room that you cook in, so you go in the cooking room, and you, when you're fully clean, you go there and sleep. And then for less pure things, different, each room is separate. There's enough space. And of course there's Tulsi in the front. And even someone who's not very rich would have some place to live. Whereas so many people nowadays, they collect some garbage and squat on the railway, next to the railway track. And that's their home. And those who are more wealthy, they take a loan and they get some pigeonhole, which they consider, some apartment which they consider very high class and very civilized. And people are enamored by this. They think this is wonderful. All of India, all the villages are emptying out. Prabhupada told Srila Lokanath Maharaj that you should go village to village and chant Hare Krishna and preach to people. Preach what? To preach to them to chant Hare Krishna and stay in the village. Don't go to the city. Don't be attracted by the city. City, then you become fallen and sinful. Now the city life is in the village also. If they have all booze is there, every village. And gradually everything is coming, all sinful life, illicit sex, gambling, intoxicating, all the bad things are coming. Meat eating is fully there. Srila Prabhupada's vision was to change society, not to keep people as Of course, he also said, whatever you're doing, you chant Hare Krishna. But if you are actually chanting Hare Krishna, then we should understand what the value of life is and live our life in such a way that we can develop Krishna consciousness. If we're living in this foolish, demoniac civilization, which people foolishly and demoniacally think is very advanced, it's very difficult to practice Krishna consciousness. Bad association, associating with all people who are pushing us to develop bad qualities. You were saying you went to the call center, they gave you an interview, and one of the questions is that, well, if someone in the call center, some young girl comes up and says, now you have sex with me, what will you reply? And his reply was, forget your job, I'm not interested in your job. What is this? You're calling me to a job or a brothel or what is it? Yeah. So, but this is what you have to learn to fit into modern life. And just recently on the train, I saw someone in front of me was reading the paper, and then the headline of the article was "There's nothing wrong with being an unmarried mother." They're pushing illicit sex. They're promoting it. It's very good. Just recently I was in Goa and they were telling this, a few years ago there was the BJP government was in, and there was a slaughterhouse there which was running into a loss. They're going to close it down. So the government gave it a loan to keep on going. BJP. I mean, it wouldn't be remarkable. It's more remarkable that they're supposed to be standing. But even the people, you see, even the people who are supposed to be promoting dharma, they don't know what is dharma. Therefore, they should learn from Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, that they should come to me, I will teach. You have cataracts, I shall remove your cataracts. Agyana timirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. He shall remove the blindness, but we're so puffed up that we think, yeah, I already know about this. You know, just learn little Bhagavad Gita and go on with life. And everything is very... I already know, I'm a Hindu and we know about Krishna consciousness. Yeah, we learned and we could have joined the Ashram Satsang or the Panduranga Shastri Satsang or the Sai Baba Satsang. I like this Hare Krishna Satsang. They're good. They're vegetarians and nice food and they're singing. That's nice. I like that. So that's good. But we don't realize. We have cataracts on our eyes. We don't see. We see, but our seeing is pashanapi na pashati. We don't see through the eye of Shastra. We accept a guru, we say a guru is blessing machine. Give us ashirvad. So many people are coming for ashirvad. Bless me. Bless you for what? So you can become another fool and rascal? Bless me, I can pass my exams. So I can become a... But I'm also chanting Hare Krishna. You should chant and hear and understand that everything we do, if it's not focused on the point of satisfying Krishna, then it's apaswartha parayana. This is a term Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to use, which is for anyone who's not Krishna conscious, and is absolutely appropriate for the whole modern society. Swarth means that which is in our self-interest. So often we criticize someone, we say, oh, he's too much interested in swarth. It means they're interested in money and they're selfish. It means someone who's selfish. Swarthi. They're just interested in my own self-interest. But actually, nate vidu swartha gating hi Vishnu. We don't realize that our real self-interest is not acquiring money by cheating others, but our real self-interest is to surrender to Krishna. So people who don't realize this, what they call swartha or self-interest is actually apaswartha, or that which is opposed to our real self-interest. Just like we say, opposite hunter. means someone has come. There we go again. Progress. Mera Bharat Mahan. Mera Bharat May Mahan Kacharaka Stupe. Yeah. It's just a big pile of rubbish. It's just a big pile of rubbish. You don't like that, do you? You're all thinking of Bharat. Our Bharat is so wonderful. Bharat Mahan hi hai, not this Bharat, this sinful, foolish, demoniac Bharat. What's the value of that? So Swart, upper Swart, upper Siddhanta. Siddhanta means that which is correct, but if we take some incorrect idea and call that Siddhanta, that's called upper Siddhanta. However, it is presented, it may be presented with all Shastra quotes and so many good logic, and it sounds very nice, but if it's not exactly on the wrong, right point, then it's opposite of it. This Radha Kantrabhu is coming and telling me there's someone, oh, he's speaking so many things from Shastra. But if it's not exactly on the point of Guru Sadhu Shastra, if it's not exactly on the point of Acharya Upasanam, worshipping the Acharyas by following them, what they have given, if it's not exactly on the point of Krishnarthi Akhila Cheshta, everything done for the satisfaction of Krishna, if there's even a slight idea of how to satisfy ourselves, by then such a person is not qualified to be an acharya or speak, and everything he speaks will, even though apparently may be preaching Krishna consciousness, is actually meant for his own glorification, not for Krishna's glorification. So that's upper Siddhanta. Siddhanta cannot be, actually there's no, just like you say, a bad guru. There's no such thing as a bad guru. But we say, because someone takes the role of a guru and then they're misusing that role. So like that upper Siddhanta, upper Swart, there's no such thing as upper. Swart means that which is for our self-interest. But our real self-interest is to surrender to Krishna. But we take that which is not in our self-interest to be for our self-interest, that's called upper Swart. So the whole, then upper Swart Parayana means people who are attached to that which is against their own real self-interest. Can you imagine anything more foolish? That you're attached to that which harms you. Just like people are smoking cigarettes, and on the packet it says, there are all kinds of things. Smoking is very bad for health. Smoking causes cancer and other severe diseases. In America, in many states, they got it down to two words. Smoking kills. And people are buying it. And smoking. This is called upper swart parayana. If they think the body is me, which they do, that's another upper swart parayana idea. But if we think that this is good for me, and it's clearly not what's good for me, but still I'm attached to it, this is foolishness. Clearly foolishness. But we're attached to that which is not at all good for us. So this modern society, it's clearly all the good qualities of a human being are destroyed. Not only the good qualities of a human being, that the air is destroyed, the water is destroyed, you can't get good food, people are full of anxiety, they have cancer of the mind, and so many problems. But still people are attached to it. If we offer, you come, live simply, no, what about my security, and what will people think of us? People will say bad things about us. They won't respect us. Why do you want us to become? I was pushing someone. Why you're not wearing dhoti? Why you're every time you go in the temple in these pants? And then I heard that he was comparing. Well, he wants to make me. They want to make us like this guala, this cowherd man. That's considered very low class. They're not interested in Guru Mokha Padma Vakya Chite Te Kariya Aika Arna Kariya Mone Asha. They sing that. But if the Guru gives you some simple instruction, wear a dhoti, they feel offended. Yeah, we do want to make you into Gwala. Krishna, he's Gwala. That's what. Gwala means, for those who don't understand, it means cowherd. person, cowherd, a gopal. So we are attached, the grow incredible foolishness of being attached to that which is against our own self-interest, that which is actually good for us. We're attached to that. What could be more foolish than purchasing and smoking cigarette, working hard to get money to purchase something that poisons you? Isn't it madness? But it's going on all over the world. Why do people smoke cigarettes? Well, they think it adds some prestige to them. It makes them, young boys think it makes them look like a man. And women who smoke, it shows that, you know, I'm very modern and I don't care for what other people, I don't care for all these old traditional values. It's a social statement to smoke a cigarette. It shows that I'm something, what exactly? Some image is promoted of being something tough. You're just fooled into, you're programmed by the advertisements. As I've many times said, the advertisement industry is proof that people are fools, because you can advertise. No one would ever buy Coca-Cola. You leave it in the shop, no one would ever buy it if it wasn't for, they have to spend billions of dollars every year advertising it. Otherwise, no one would ever buy it. Because as far as I remember from 35 years back or so, it doesn't taste very nice anyway. But it's just some image they promote. In India, they're promoting it with sports stars, and generally they promote young boys and girls. They're so happy for they're drinking Coke and all this and that. So it just proves that people are foolish, because they're buying something which they don't want, they don't need, and they're just buying it because they're buying it according to the image that's promoted. Some cricket player is drinking Coke in India, that's it, right? Is it Coke or Pepsi or something, whatever? And Amitabh Bachchan, he's everything. He's had probably everything. He's advertising everything. You know, what isn't he advertising? And everyone knows that he's doing that because he's getting some money. But still it's effective. Otherwise, they wouldn't advertise with him. People think, oh, Amitabh Bachchan, what is it? What advertisement is? Can he uses this kind of cloth, so I should also use that kind of cloth. Huh? What? Toothpaste? Some kind of suitcase. Oh. What else? I mean, what else? Like I said, what doesn't he promote? So that proves that people are foolish. If we're actually to take to Krishna consciousness and actually surrender to Krishna, then we have to be convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all His eternal servants, and we're not this body, and everything here is temporary. Sounds easy, doesn't it? You all wrote your Bhakti Shastri examinations. I am not the body. Dehino smin yata dehe. First prize, Bhakti Shastri examination. Did we understand anything? Once Prabhupada was with some of his disciples, or senior disciples, he looked at them and said, "Are you convinced?" They all said, "It's a very heavy moment. Are we convinced as Prabhupada is convinced?" Easy to say. We're not the body. Surrender to Krishna. At least theoretically we should be convinced. Means we know that not everyone is ready to fully surrender their lives. And even if we have the feeling we want to do so, admittedly it is difficult to give up material attachments. That's admitted. And we may not even encourage, but someone may come and say, oh, I heard that lecture, and now I'm going to fully give up all sense gratification and fully surrender. And we just slow down a minute there. We saw so many like that who, they come, but they don't maintain. So, one shouldn't be, it's important to know one's level, and we don't know our level, therefore we require guidance. That's why one accepts a guru, not as an ashivad machine, blessing our material desires. But to see what is our level and bring us up. The guru is there and he told you chant 16 rounds and chant Hare Krishna, and so that's alright. So I'm doing what I'm doing and that's alright. But guru is required to pull us up. Don't stay there. Come up. Should give you a challenge. Don't become a materialist with a veneer of chanting Hare Krishna. You know what this word veneer means? Veneer means that you get some cheap wood, some chipboard or something like this, and you put a thin layer of expensive wood on top. So it looks like you have very expensive wood table, teak wood table, but actually it's just chipboard. And anyone who's got even a white belt karate, it can go right through it. So that's a veneer. It's a thin covering which looks impressive, but there's nothing substantial underneath. So to accept a guru means to accept something heavy, and that means the commitment to progress towards pure Krishna consciousness. It's heavy. It's heavy. We're not saying it's blissful, no doubt. But becoming free of material attachments can be painful. Just like you go through some medical treatment. I haven't done it personally, but I've heard about this, what's that called? Panchakarma. Cleansing the system. Catharsis. Internal cleansing. So it's very heavy. If you do some fasting or some treatment, then you feel it's difficult. Heavy on the body, but at the end the body is cleansed. And of course it's a material body, so again it will become polluted. But the cleansing in Krishna consciousness is complete and total. But one has to be prepared for that. It means one has to be on the path of purification. One has to see what is the goal. That cultivating material attachments it means we're never going to become spiritually advanced. So at least, even we know we have certain material attachments, but we have to cultivate attachment to Krishna and Krishna consciousness by hearing and chanting about Krishna. And even we have material attachments, we can see, we should know, this is nonsense, this is not good, this is my weakness, I should overcome this by taking up the process of Krishna consciousness very seriously. We have to hear and chant about Krishna. We have to serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then we can become purified. But if we think that, well, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, so automatically we become purified. No, it doesn't. It's not automatic. That is a great mistake to think that if you chant Hare Krishna, then automatically become purified. No, the desire to be purified has to be there also. Otherwise, we see there are so many Mayavadis, this Sai Baba, they also chant the names of Krishna, but they have the idea that this Sai Baba, who's now having he's Bhagavan, he's now in his wheelchair Leela. So they think that he's Bhagavan, so they don't get progress by chanting. They can go on chanting, but they don't have the motive to surrender to Krishna or become purified. They think that, well, that's okay, that's alright. You just chant. And that's, you don't have to do anything else, but there's a lot more to do. It's non-different from the chanting. All the processes of chanting Hare Krishna, all the processes of bhakti yoga, they're all supportive and non-different from the process of chanting. But when Lord Chaitanya, he preached Harinama Eva Kevalam, that doesn't mean that Harinama Eva Kevalam doesn't mean that you can do anything you like, what you like, how you like, and you become purified. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave to Rupa Goswami all the processes of devotional service given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which are to be followed to make progress. All these processes help us to cultivate the bhakti lata, the creeper of devotional service. And if we don't follow these processes, if we don't cultivate that, then the bhakti lata doesn't grow properly. When we're cultivating a plant in agriculture or horticulture, there's certain things we have to do. If they're done, then the plants grow nicely, by the grace of God. Even then you have to depend on His mercy. If there's too much sun or not, it depends on the different crops. Too much sun, not enough sun. Too much rain, not enough rain. There's certain things we can't control. But there's certain things that we have to, even if there's enough sun and enough rain and not too much, still there are certain things we have to do to make the, to help the plant to grow nicely. So like that, we depend on the mercy of the Lord, but at the same time we have to do our part. Accepting His mercy means to accept His instructions. The instructions He's given, plus praying to Him that, Lord, you please help us in this process. It's easy and it's not easy. Chanting Hare Krishna is very easy. It only requires a tongue and the willingness to do it. But the willingness to become purified, that has to be there also. So that comes from inspiration, that we hear about the pastimes of the great devotees, how they're surrendering to Krishna. We hear about Krishna in the spiritual world. We think, yes, I'd like to, this is better than Bangalore, the spiritual world. It's better than anything the material world has got to offer. We should be convinced this material world is a place of misery, and there is the spiritual world, the world of serving Krishna beyond this. That we should be convinced that our position is to serve Krishna, that we have no other real duty than this. We should be convinced. How are we going to be convinced? We have to hear. Hear once, and we have to hear it again and again. Because we're hearing again and again that material life is very good, let's make progress, let's develop the nation, let's build more factories and highways and make India a superpower. We're hearing this again and again and again. It's the whole atmosphere is pervaded, especially in Bangalore. The whole mood is one of progress for the nation and be a success. It's all apaswart against our own real self-interest. As we see, for all their progress, people are very proud, we're very progressive. I'm not going to go back to some small town in Tamil Nadu and where people are all stupid, you know. Some of them, they still wear this veti. What is this? They're not wearing. You see the young, they dress their young daughters in this salwar kameez. I mean, they're just backward people. You know, it's 10 years old and not even wearing jeans. Yeah, backward. So this is apaswart parayan. And we're in that atmosphere. It's very strong in Bangalore, people think. We go from Bangalore back to some small town in somewhere else in South India. Oh, he's from Bangalore. I'm from Bangalore. Who are these? Yeah, these people, they're all useless. They don't know anything. They're not modern. They're just living the old world, the old way. So we become so proud and so puffed up that this is so much better. But it's not. If we think like that, That is called apaswarata parayana, dedicated to that which is against our own self-interest. So how are we to get the enthusiasm to act, to be actually swartha parayana, to be attached to that which is for our real self-interest? We have, first of all, there should be acceptance of this point. That comes from hearing, from those who are convinced of that. Not only hearing, but seeing how they live. And then we have to go on hearing. And we have to develop discrimination between what is swarth and what is upper swarth. What is in our self, what is actually our self-interest and what isn't. Just like, it might be said that anyone who's preaching like this, you know, surrender to Krishna, follow Krishna consciousness very strictly, well, that's all right, but, you know, they're fanatics. There's no real need to. You can also chant Hare Krishna. And there's no harm if you watch a little TV and go to the movies sometime. And he's not really required to get up early in the morning. And you, I mean, there's nothing really wrong. There's nothing really wrong with eating karmi foods and all this kind of thing. So anyone who's preaching like that, you can preach like that if they like, but you should know they're just fanatics, you see, because we're doing all these things and we're also initiated and you can, so what's the harm, you see? You get Guru Kripa, Guru initiates you and you chant Hare Krishna. They only tell you to chant 16 rounds and following four regular principles. So it's okay, so what's the harm? We're also initiated. So why are you pressing all these things? They're just some fanaticism. But then you have to see, there is a difference. There is a difference between one who tries to follow very strictly for the sake of satisfying Krishna. That is also described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, conveyed by Rupa Goswami. Apart from Krishnarte Akila Cheshta, there is also Krishnarte Bhoga Tyag. We should accept. That comes out as Anukul Yasya Sankalpa, Pratikul Yasya Varajanam. Accept that which is favorable for advancing in Krishna consciousness and reject that which isn't. So our acharyas have not given us all these restrictions because they're just foolish or I don't know. I don't know what reasons can be given for not following them. I don't know what kind of things are offered and I don't really want to know, but I'm sure you can hear here and there all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't practice Krishna consciousness very seriously or very, it's not really needed because, you know, you just chant Hare Krishna and that's it. But definitely there's a difference. If we try to follow very seriously, then definitely we're going to get the mercy of Krishna more and advance more in Krishna consciousness than if we don't. If we have 2 hours free in the evening and we use it for watching TV, we're not going to get the same result of advancing in Krishna consciousness as we are if we read Srimad Bhagavatam. Obviously. It's an obvious thing. So we can't say it's all the same. Definitely one will advance in Krishna consciousness if one follows the process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the acharyas. And to the extent that we follow it, we will advance. Of course, there may be a danger there of becoming somewhat proud also. But if you say, well, I won't follow so much because I don't want to become proud, then that's another foolishness. You have to follow both in practice and precept. We have to follow both the letter of the law and the spirit of it also. So sometimes you hear people say, well, bhakti is just, it's just bhav, it's the feeling, you see. If you follow all the rules too much, you may just become very rigid. And that's also possible. Rupa Goswami warns about that, that we shouldn't just be attached to the rules and regulations just for the sake of them. The heart should become soft, that is the actual result of advancing Krishna consciousness. But that softness doesn't mean some sentimental schmuck. That's some kind of talking very talking in a way with our voice cracking or something. If our heart is actually soft with love of Krishna, then we'll want to act in a manner that's pleasing to Krishna in all respects. It's not a matter of making a show. But we should have ado shraddha. First we should have faith in the process. Associate with devotees. Bhajana kriya. Become serious about following the process, which means there should be anartha nivritti. Become freed from that which anartha means. There's this word, swart, art, swart. Actually, the two things mean the same thing. Art, that which is of value, swart, that which is in our own self-interest. It actually means the same thing. Art is paramart. That means that which is connected with, there is our worldly existence. And there is that is not our actual art. Our real existence is paramart, on the superior platform. So, anartha. By getting free from anartha, that which is opposed to our interest, then we can attain to artha, that which is in our self-interest. But if we're cultivating that which is anartha, if we make a philosophy out of it, that it's all right to do everything which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Acharyas tell us is not all right, then it not only becomes anartha, but it becomes aparad. If we do something which is not in our self-interest, that means which is against the precepts of Krishna consciousness, that is anartha. But if we try to justify it and say that actually this is bhakti, then that's not only anartha, that becomes aparad. Again, upper, this word comes. It means opposite. Or aradhana means worship. And aparad means that which blocks the process of worship. To do worship in the temples, traditionally one has to be a brahmana. Brahmana means very pure. Those who lead a very pure life. Those who are eating anything here and there. As a strict rule of a Brahmin, they'll only take, Vaishnav Brahmin will take only Vishnu Prasad. And a non-Vaishnav Brahmana is not really a Brahmana in the strict sense of the term, but conventionally they're considered Brahmanas. They won't eat that which is cooked by non-Brahmanas, and many of them are shvapaki, they'll only cook what they themselves cook. And they were very strict about that, because it's known that this, what we eat affects the consciousness. The whole point, why is it that Brahmanas only are to worship the deity? Because they're cultivating higher consciousness, not just in talking, but by their activities. Their activities are conducive to higher consciousness. But because they lost the point and thought, we are superior, then they lost the whole point. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches, Chunadapi Sunichta. Considering oneself lower than the straw in the street. So cultivating very high qualities, and at the highest quality is to consider oneself very lowly and fallen, then one becomes qualified to receive the mercy of Krishna. The blessing, that we're asking for blessings. But the blessing is automatically there if the spirit to serve and follow is there. Sometimes devotees come and ask, please give blessing. What for? So I can chant my 16 rounds. You already agreed to do. What do you want blessing for? That you agreed. Now you're asking that without your blessing I won't chant? Then you're a rascal. You already agreed to chant. And now you're saying, now I need a blessing to chant. And what is that? Blessing. We should ask It's if we have some very difficult or some special service we've been given, just like we see Prabhupada put his feet on the heads of the disciples he was sending to England. He especially empowered them for that. Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said he especially empowered Rupa Goswami to explain the process of devotional service. But basically, we're given the process of devotional service. We have to follow that. We should follow what is given. And we should come and ask for, we should come and hear about Krishna Bhakti. What is the process of devotional service? Try to understand by hearing. Actually, if we're asking for blessing means for what? To do some service. So if we're asking for a blessing, then it means more or less that, yeah, I understand everything about bhakti, and now you just bless me to do it. But right. It's kind of presumptuous. Or it may be with another misunderstanding that we just take blessings, that's all. But no, we have to do our part. We have to be very serious about following Krishna consciousness. We have to do our part means that we take instruction, we have to follow. And if we follow, then the blessing is there automatically. If we actually desire to serve Krishna, that with the instruction comes the empowerment to do it. So if we actually want to serve, then the blessing to do so is automatically there. So all the time asking, blessing, blessing, blessing. Prabhupada, he told how he interacted with his Guru Pada Padma. That's the cultured way of when we refer to any respectable person, we refer to I heard from my Guru Pada Padma. So feet don't speak. But that's the cultured way of addressing that. We meditate on the lotus feet of the Guru. We'll find in all the commentaries on Bhagavatam, they'll say, Swami Charanat. It's stated, or it's coming from the lotus feet of Swami. It means Sridhar Swami has stated. It literally means from the feet of him. He's referred to by his feet. So that, anyway, that's just a point of etiquette. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would always refer to his Guru Dev as his Guru Pada Padma, the lotus feet of my Guru. So Prabhupada would approach his Guru Dev, he would sit and listen. And he said, the only question I ask is, how can I serve you? Of course, this is exchange between Mahabhagavats. But they're both Mahabhagavats. In one sense, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there was no need for him to accept initiation from Gaurakishor Das Babaji Maharaj. Although he explained that I was feeling very proud, I'm a great scholar, anyone can come to me and I'll cut all their ideas into pieces, I'm very aristocratic, I'm very moral. And when I came to my Guru Pada Padma, I understood that everything that I thought was very valuable in me has no value whatsoever. Because he had no interest in any of my so-called good qualities. My morality, I'm a very moral person. He wasn't in the slightest bit interested. He just thought, I'm just another person bothering him. So when again and again he had to go and ask. And when I finally realized that everything I considered valuable was of no value whatsoever, and then I saw this illiterate person who's just living with sometimes in no clothes and sometimes with some cloth taken from the dead bodies, and when I realized that he had no interest in any of my high material qualities, then what has he got? What he has got must be so much more valuable than anything that I've got. Then he was ready to surrender. Yes. Now I'm not coming just because Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent me, but now I may think, you see, so many people want that, they're canvassing, come be my disciple. I think if I get him as a disciple, my prestige will go up more and more. So many people are coming, you come and be my disciple. And he's going to go, Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, become my disciple. He said, no, I won't accept you. I made someone a disciple before, he cheated me and went away, I don't want any more disciples. And again he came. Then, you please give me Diksha. He said, well, alright, I'll ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, see what he says. And he came again. Then, so what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Oh, I forgot to ask. Not interest, you know, just showing complete indifference. Then he realized that if Then he could say, actually, Karuna na hoile kandiya kandiya prana rakibhava. That if I don't get your mercy, I can't live. He was coming. Yes, I'll accept initiation. But when he came to that point, all right, you go bathe in the Saraswati Jalangi, come back. And then his initiation, just, here's some dust from Navadvipa Dham. Take that in your hand. That's what Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was attached to. The dust of Navadvipa Dham. When you can realize that that is more valuable than anything in this world, then he found, yes, alright, now you're fit to be initiated. So anyway, this is exchange between Mahabhagavats, and we shouldn't try to judge this from our foolish, idiotic, constrained intelligence. We'll write some PhD thesis on Gauriya Vaishnavism and nonsense. We'll give our mundane opinion. Of course, it's not that a PhD thesis on Gauriya Vaishnavism has to be nonsense, but the attitude that I shall study and give my opinion about, but if anyone has that idea, I will give my opinion, a very learned opinion about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Put him in a box and send him off to Yamaraj. Rascal. So these are Mahabhagavats. Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigeha Nabhujai. It's exactly what's going on between them. We can't understand by our mundane intelligence. One who's got spiritual intelligence can begin to understand, but spiritual intelligence is something very, very different from material intelligence, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati demonstrated by in his approaching Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So the point is, they're showing us how we should approach. Tadvijnanartham sagurumevabhigacchet. One should approach for the sake of getting that knowledge. Artham, tadvijnanartham, for the purpose, again, artha, this word comes. For the purpose of getting that knowledge, that science. Or what is that science? Of how to attain that which is not obtainable anywhere within the material world, that which is not obtainable by Brahma or even great Maharshis. It's only attainable by pure devotees. So when we have that artha, when our purpose is to obtain tadvijnanartham, that our purpose is to attain that knowledge, or that not just vijnan means not just knowledge, but the science, the scientific process of how we can attain to Krishna, then we should approach Guru. Of course, it's Kali Yoga and it's very not so easy to find a genuine guru or a genuine disciple. Often people are asking, how can I find a genuine guru? How can I be sure? Well, are you going to be a genuine, are you ready? If you get a genuine guru, you're ready to be a genuine disciple? If we see what it is required to be a genuine disciple, we may not like to be also. Therefore, in Kali Yoga, Pancharatriki Diksha is given that if someone has some desire to advance towards the goal of pure Krishna consciousness, taking that spark, and that desire means there should be some fanning of the fire, of the spark also. There should be some practical action. Should be seen that they're actually serious to some extent, to some minimum standard is that they're interested to chant Hare Krishna. They're willing to follow some process. You may not even expect everyone to follow the process fully in the beginning, but some seriousness is there. All right, come, be initiated by the Pancharatriki Vidhi. So coming in, all right, come in. But now come in and come up. We shouldn't think that Diksha is in and of itself all in all. But come in and come up. Or at least stick to this process and become purified. We have to apply ourselves to this process. Hearing, chanting about Krishna, making the center of our lives Krishna, and gradually removing everything superfluous. Alright, we know, everyone's not just like the Haryashvas, Shavalashvas, the narration is there in the Bhagavatam. The sons of Daksha, Narad Muni, told them, you just give up all this nonsense and immediately surrender to Godhead. And they did, and they went back to Godhead. So, not everyone is ready for that, and even there are many tests. Krishna consciousness process is very nice, but there are many tests. Kali Yoga is full of many difficulties. In this age of Kali, what is that? Sri Bhakti Marga Eha Kantaka Koti Rudra. There are millions of thorns on the path of bhakti in Kali Yoga. That's to be expected. But we can go through. We can go through if we take to this process very seriously. I have a feeling some Mahatma has come. Yes, nice. See, I have mystic power. Even without seeing him. So Danavya means who's a great hero of charity. He's giving. You want to give him some dan? Jnana dan? Vidya dan? Hare Krishna. So we, just to summarize then, we may be living with so many anarthas, we may have so many material attachments, but we have to work towards purifying that. We have to become purified. See what is our situation. Become purified. Apply ourselves more and more to the process of Krishna consciousness. It's not easy, especially in this society which is apaswartha parayana. The whole society is aimed at destroying the value, even the values of ordinary human life, what to speak of advanced spiritual life. But at the same time, we should have faith that this process of chanting Hare Krishna is very powerful if we actually apply ourselves to it. And that the mercy of the Vaishnavas is very powerful if we actually accept it instead of taking it something very cheaply. So all help is there, and we can become fully purified, but we have to make that our, clearly the goal of our lives. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Yeah.
During your course of your lecture, you are speaking that it's very important to be conscious, like Krishna conscious. But people feel that cooking in temple and doing puja, it's something very simple job. They don't consider the conscious aspect. They just consider that it's just, you have to go around, do some agarbattis. All you need to do is how many times you should know how much you have to go around the deities. And that's what people consider. And they say, even we do...
Yeah, that's what I was saying in the lecture. Do you have anything else to say?
I want to say that, can you please explain how the higher aspects of consciousness is involved?
Then you have to hear and understand that we're doing for the pleasure of Krishna. That's why we have the classes. To understand that everything should be done for the pleasure of Krishna. It's not a mechanical process. Cooking for Krishna, there are so many cookbooks. It's not a matter of how much masala or how much ghee and all this. That's also there. We should cook very nicely for Krishna. But as I was saying already in the class, I already said this, that Brahmins, they are doing the puja because they are cultivating higher consciousness and pure habits. So they should do. Therefore, standard rule in deity worship is those who are Brahmins. That may be either by family, if they're actually following in their families, or they may be by the Pancharatriki Vidhi initiated as Vaishnav Brahmins, even if they're not born in a Vaishnav family. But then again, you have to understand that means purification of consciousness.
Modern day education system.
Modern day education is preparing everyone to go to hell.
So, what options do we have other than staying in pigeonholes and there's no other options, isn't it? Modern day
There are. Prabhupada, of course, one of the important programs he set up was alternative education, which at the present time is not available within ISKCON. There is some alternative. You can ask Radha Kanprabhu. I gave him prospectus. So I haven't been to this school, but Gokul Chandra Prabhu has been there. In somewhere in Karnataka, there's some Sri Vaishnavas who are running some schools, which Gokul Chandra Prabhu was impressed. So that's something. But it's something we have to do. We have to set up also. Please don't put anything in your mouth except toothbrush in the morning and food during the day. Not your beads.
My only question was, with the present day education system, what is the kind of occupational duty to recommend wherein a person can be more Krishna conscious?
How do the two mean?
See, invariably occupational duties, one is forced to go and work in these multinational organizations. Other than that, what are the kind of options can you think for us where we can be more...
Presently, there isn't much. We're working towards that. Yesterday I was at this farm near Belgaum, which they've taken 450 acres of land, which they're gradually... That's what Prabhupada wanted as the alternative. We should live on the land simply. One thing that you could possibly do, is just a suggestion, is start a temple. Run a small temple somewhere. If you can buy the land, make a trust, make a small temple, and worship the Lord. And people will bring vegetables... Rice, all this, and you live simply.
You can afford only pigeonholes, Maharaj, where they can afford to buy land for the temple.
No, maybe not in Bangalore, maybe elsewhere. It's a possibility. I was thinking of recommending that to one of my disciples, who's actually they're worshipping Krishna in their family, but that worship had stopped, so he's asked me what to do. So I was thinking, well, why don't you make a temple and you can live there? You'll have a small residence and live as a poor archaka. better than being a so-called rich worshipper of Bill Gates or something like that. That's also a possibility. Another thing is that if you are working for an MNC and you are earning so-called good money, is to live very simply, save the money and retire early and live close to a temple, do some service and take prasadam. That's also a possibility, which I generally recommend in a household is to do. Don't live lavishly, save money, retire early. That's the best option now. Oh, there are different things. You can also, if you are earning such money that you can build a house, you can live in two rooms of it and rent the rest out. So there are other options available, or possible options available. If you have some basic place to stay, you can also sell books and agarbatti and this. There are quite a few householders in India who are maintaining themselves simply, not very high standard of living, by selling Prabhupada's books and agarbattis and this and that. So alternatives are there. But the point I wanted to get through is that we shouldn't be enamored by this. We shouldn't think that this way of life is something very wonderful and I'm so lucky, I've got such a wonderful job and I'm better than everyone else. Our values should be set by people who have got something valuable. And that, just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur realized, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj has got something valuable. I don't have. He was saying, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of course, is a great Mahatma and very rare, a great devotee, raised by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But at least superficially, he was thinking his learning, his moral values, his truthfulness, his aristocracy, his learning, this was something very valuable. And then by coming in contact with Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he understood that even these things are not valuable. Even that, which is higher than that of gross materialism, but even that is not valuable. Without pure Krishna consciousness, it's all a series of zeros. So our acharyas have given us very high ideal and the means to proceed toward it. And if we can actually understand what Vyasadeva has given, Shukadeva Goswami has given, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, Prabhupada has given us, then certainly we will want to do whatever is required to attain that. If we remain enamored by this, by anything in this material world, it means that we haven't actually made our proper connection with the acharyas. We haven't heard what they have said. Even we write, I said, we can write the Bhakti Shastri exam, get 98 marks out of 100, but it's not just a matter of academic.